necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus flows as
Lord, let your mercy be upon us as we place our trust in you. Direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, this is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air, and thank you and welcome, listeners. And welcome to our guest, Brother Paul Miller. Brother Miller, are you there?
I am here, thank you.
Oh, Brother Miller, thank you so much for being our guest and being our co-host also. It's always a joy to have you. You are truly a good friend to this station and to this radio show. We treasure our friendship greatly. So let me just say a few things about Brother Miller. He's a professed member of the Franciscan Order. He's married. He has children and 11 grandchildren. And he has a healing ministry of divine mercy. And he's also the spiritual son of Maria Esperanza. And that's not it. Jesus didn't stop there. He has a soup kitchen that he feeds thousands of people every year. He has a coat drive that he has a warehouse that I believe if you went in there, you would think it's Macy's. And he's in the midst of his coat drive for poor people now. And so, Brother Miller, there are so many things about you that are so Christ-like. I just don't know where to begin. But anyway, thank you and welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here, Tony. And please call me Brother Paul.
Oh, Brother Paul. Okay, Brother Paul.
So today I thought I would turn the tables on you.
Okay, okay, that's fine.
You know, this is going to be a fun show for me because, as many of your listeners know, I've been on the show many times. And I wondered if they knew very much about you and the show and Dr. Palmer and all that. But I thought that today I'd be the person asking the questions instead of you.
Okay. I'm okay. I'm all for it there, Brother Paul.
Okay. So first of all, why don't you tell the listeners how you met Dr. Palmer?
Well, that happened about 7 years ago. He was doing a healing service, and he prayed over me, and I had lung cancer at the time, and I just asked him to pray for my, lung cancer, and he prayed, and he says to me, this is going to be a piece of cake, and I had the operation, and I was cured, but that's, where it didn't end. When I went back to the doctor for my first visit, there was a patient that was before me, and he come out of the doctor's office, got his results, and he looked me square in the eye, and he says to me, "This is a piece of cake," and I says, "Oh my Lord!" So. That confirmed.
Talk about a confirmation.
A
right?
Confirmation, yes. And I was, my wife was there, Joan was there. She heard it, she knew, and I couldn't wait to tell Dr. Palmer, and I did. And this was 7 years ago, and so I go every year for my examination, and bless Jesus and bless the Lord. Everything is good, and so that was my first encounter with Dr. Palmer.
Well, that's a pretty impressive encounter. So. How did you go about deciding to do the radio show?
That happened also at one of his conferences. I knew he was doing some stuff on the internet. I don't know if it was paying off and stuff. And I don't know. I just at the conference, something touched my heart, my soul, and. In a break, when we're having breakfast, I just went in the corner by myself, and I started praying, and I was touched. I got chills. I got you know, heat flowing into me. And I got in my head, no voices, I just got in my head, you know, do a radio show. And so, you know, I was like in a trance of some sort, I guess. And so I didn't say anything, and Palmer was sitting there with the, what I call his entourage, and I heard him say, and I heard one of the...
Today you say posse.
It's posse, yeah. And I heard them say, what's with Tony? And I heard John say, he's praying. And so I didn't do anything. And then at the end of the day, I says, John, I'm getting that. I'd like to do a radio show. What do you think? He says, yeah, I think I might like it. So we met. You know, I found the radio station. I found WGBB. I had a friend that does a show in Jersey, and I called him, and he led me to WGBB, which I knew because I used to advertise there 20-something years ago. And I called WGBB, and John and I went down to talk to them, and they had this slot open. This was 5 years ago. And they offered it to us for a certain amount of money, and we were able to negotiate a price. And so John and I spoke. We went to Burger King, and we spoke about it at Burger King. And John, we were trying to think of a name of it. And so I think John or I mentioned Listen Up, and then we got Jesus Is on the Air. And so that settled it. That was going to be the name of the show. Listen Up, Jesus Is on the Air. And and that's what we did. And
the rest was history, right?
Yeah, it's history, but it was, there's no doubt that we've been led by the Holy Spirit. And John became such a good friend of mine. And, you know, by the way, Brother Paul, if after this, maybe we could open the show with a little prayer for John. And but he's been such
why don't we take time right now for you to do that?
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay, would you like to lead the prayer? Or?
No, I would like you to do it.
Okay. Well, this is a prayer for Dr. John Palmer that was made by our prayer group when he first got sick. We did a spiritual rosary, and we stopped after every decade, and everyone told what they got, and we put it all together, and the leaders of the group met, and they composed a prayer. And it's a prayer for John. Father God, we recognize in the blessings of your son, Dr. John Palmer, in our lives. We thank you for John. He is a light to the nations, bathed in your light, shining upon him. He is a fearless prayer warrior, tower of strength, and a Christian hero for so many of your beloved children. We pray this rosary for John tonight, today, and know all his friends will remember him in their prayers each day. We ask for a renewal of John's mind and body, removing all pain and anguish as he is restored to good health. We surrender all to Jesus. We trust in your Lord for John's complete recovery in your time. And in your way, according to your will, we ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, for we know that you will refuse her nothing in the name of Jesus. John's Amen. Hearts belong to you, Father. Grant him your peace, hope, and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. We lift up John to you, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and ask for a recovery. Amen. And so this prayer was composed on June 30th, 2015, at a meeting of our prayer group, which we spent the whole night composing and praying for. And so that's the little prayer for Dr. John Palmer that
I'd
like to say.
That's beautiful, and I hope all of our listeners will join with us in praying for John's speedy recovery so that I can retire as a
Yeah. And
you know, it's interesting how you started the show. But what were your backgrounds? What's your background? What's John's background?
Well, John, of course, you know, is a psychologist. He has a, and he's also involved with the diocese, and he was a psychologist for the diocese, and then he retired, and he contributed a day a week to serve the people of the diocese. And also he had his own professional following who love him dearly. I can't tell you the number of calls I get from his patients, his ex-patients, and the people want to go see him and are praying for him. I mean, Dr. Palmer is truly loved by all. As a matter of fact, people in my family love him so that they asked specifically if they could go down to the hospital to see him and pray for him. And they did. And so my background is, so John is a psychologist, a PhD. And my background is I'm a PhD in business and entrepreneurship. And business is my second love. My first love is Jesus. And so that's how we got together. That's how we put the show together. But now we became 501c3. We're now a nonprofit, and it's official, and which means that anyone that contributes to the show, it has a tax deduction. But we'll talk more.
Yeah, we'll get back to that later.
Okay.
I don't want to let you off the hook that easy.
Okay.
So what made you and you an entrepreneurial expert and a psychologist think you could do a radio show? What did you think you could bring to the radio?
Well, we just at that conference that I was referring to when I sat in the corner and went and got a trance or whatever you want to call it, I said to John, I says, you know, what's your thought about a radio show? At that time, I was thinking of John doing a religious show and I doing a business show related to the Catholic perspective, and John says, I think I like that idea. I says, you know why? Because on AM radio, I notice there are religious shows, but there are hardly none. I think just one Catholic religious show on AM radio. I think there's a time and a place to start a Catholic show with a Catholic perspective. And my thought was to, you know, start a show and he would do the Catholic one, I would do the, what do you call it? He says, no, we'll do it together. We'll make it a Catholic show, and we'll evangelize, and we'll have a goal, we'll bring one person a week to Jesus. And I says, that's fine with me. I prayed over it. I got to go ahead, and that's what we did. And so we've been doing it for 5 years. It'll be our fifth anniversary this January. But we want to be a grassroots station. We don't want to be a highfalutin station, or serious or anything like that. We just want to be a simple grassroots station. We want to touch everyone's lives. We want to touch everyone's lives in the diocese. I'm trying to. My plan is to reach out to every parish in the diocese and to have them invited to be on the show to talk about what they're doing and how they're evangelizing. So that's, and also my plan, Brother Paul, my plan is to spread to the east and the west, and I'd like to go out in your area and have a show with you involved there on that side. That's my prayer. But we'll see what Jesus has in store.
So when was your first show? What was the date of your first show?
The first show was on January 11th, 2011, and it was composed of, you know, we did it so fast, we didn't line up any guests, and John and I were the guests. We interviewed each other, I'm going to be replaying that show shortly as an encore. I'm hesitant, but I'm saying, you know, that's the grassroots. So we interviewed each other, and we played music, and John selected the music, and that was it. And we started calling guests, and they started accepting. And so we try to have guests on mostly all our shows. Sometimes John and I recorded the shows ourselves, and we thought that it was, you know, time for us to do talking. So we spoke, him and I, on the Eucharist, on the Holy Spirit, and et cetera. And that's how we've been progressing. So this January the 11th will be our fifth year of the show.
I hear
we have, from the radio station, we're the most listened to show on the station, but I didn't verify this. I don't know, Trevor, tell me if I'm over speaking, but something like 300,000 listeners the station has. Is that correct, Trev? Yes, is that correct? Yes, 300,000 listeners, at least. So, and I've gotten calls, by the way, from people that have gotten us on the website. You know, there's a webcam,
right,
that you could see. I don't know if you know about it, Brother Paul. You could see the show. You can see our ugly faces from the studio. And
actually, sometimes while I'm co-hosting via telephone, I watch you on the show to see what you're up to.
So I've gotten calls from Hawaii, and I've gotten calls from the Philippines, to people that wanted to be on the show. And I'm open. If anyone does want to be a guest, if anyone's got a story that's going to enlighten the hearts of people, it's going to bring evangelize, it's going to bring people back to Jesus, I'd like to know about it. I'd like to put you on a show. I'm not saying the world, but I like the dice. I like everyone we could reach to know that there are people out there that are being touched by Jesus.
You know, it's interesting. I haven't had a chance to tell you this, but a couple of weeks ago, I got an email from someone on my Healing Ministry of Divine Mercy website saying that he had heard me on the radio and how it changed his life.
Oh,
so
wow.
So that's thanks to your show. That actually happened.
Oh,
what was the most impressive feedback you ever got on the show from people? Can you think of a single?
Well, I think that there is the most impressive. I'm going to start crying, but I'll tell you the most impressive thing that happened on the show to me. We were talking about people that were contemplating committing suicide. John and I and the guests were talking about that. And this was at the, I think it was at the first year of the show. And speaking about, you know, what spurs it on and what is it that's going to be, you know, committing suicide. How is that going to affect your eternal life? And why is God not against it? And why God is against it, I'm sorry. And why anyone that's contemplating those terrible thoughts of committing suicide know that God has a plan for them. So we had the show on, and that was Saturday. Saturday night, I'm a sacristan at St. Catherine of Siena. So I open the church, and I close the church. I clean it up. I set it up, et cetera. So when the Mass was over, everyone had left, and I was cleaning up, and I walked outside in the hallway to get, you know, some material and to bring it back in the sacristan. And a gentleman came over to me. He was going out of the door. I came out of his sacristan. As I was coming out of the sacristan, he was opening the door to leave. He saw me come out. He walked back in, closed the door. I said to myself, I'm all alone here. And he walked over to me, and he says, "Anthony, I listened to your show today. You were talking about there's someone out there contemplating suicide. I want you to know," I'm starting to cry, "I want you to know that was me. And I thank you. And I thank the radio show, and I thank Dr. Palmer, because I know now that was a bad thought I had in my mind." So in my mind, that's the most remembering thing that I could possibly think of, and reaching out to people. And there were others that have called. Like I said, I got a call from a deacon from Hawaii who happened to listen to the show on Chemcord and asked to be on. And I got another call from a deacon that wanted to talk about forgiveness, and I had him on. And so we just want to be a grassroots show, Brother Paul, and we just want to touch. We don't want any fancy. I'm not looking for anything fancy. I like to have bishops, and our highest ranking that we had on the show was a bishops, and you know, we've had Monsignor Vaughn from the TV show on, and my goal is to get a cardinal. So that's my prayer. My next step is to get a cardinal on the show. But we want to be grassroots. We want to touch the diocese, and we want to open the show to the parishes in the diocese. This, we want to make this a place, an instrument that the parishes could express their great work and express the stories, because there are so many stories out there of people that have are touched by Jesus. And we want to bring that into the show, and we just want to be a grassroots show.
And well, it sounds like a winning combination. What about having a song right now? Give me a chance.
Yes,
to take a little breath.
I'm ready for a song. Can we play a song? Brother Paul, I'd like to play Here We Are. Trevor, can you play Here We Are, number 4? Thank you, Brother Paul.
Yep.
And here we are, lifting our hands to you. Here we are, giving you thanks for all you do. And as we pray and worship your holy, dwelling within our prayer. For every answered prayer, oh yeah, for always being here, for love that hears us when we call, for arms that lift us when we fall. Beside us, leading us all along the way, and we made it through because of you. And here we are, lifting our hands to you. Here we are, worship your holy name. You are here, dwelling within our praise. For days we cannot see, for all that's yet to be,
so much is yet to be,
the trials we may have to face, when we'll be leaning on your grace. Oh yes, it will be your strength, yes it will, that saves, your love that makes us strong. And
through it all
we'll sing this song.
We thank you, Lord. Thank you. You inhabit the praises of your people. So you're here with us right now.
Yes.
We thank you.
We thank you,
Lord. For your presence, we pray.
Thank you. Brother Paul?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
The music, when you play the music, sometimes it cuts out on my phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. No problem. So that was a lovely song.
Thank you.
Pick that one.
My wife.
Okay.
Joan, my lovely wife for 54 years. We were little kids when we got married. We're not that old. But my lovely wife of 54 years selected the music for me because I was a little wrapped up. And she selected another one, too. I'd like to play it when we get a chance, which I think is great. Yes.
I was going to ask you, does one of your guests stand out over the years? Is there someone you say, wow, you know, that was really surprising or really an extraordinary witness or something like that? Does anybody stand out? Don't be afraid to single somebody out.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm current.
Well, we've had so many guests on the show. We've done 252 shows, and so many of the guests were, outstanding but I think, you know, I think the guest that has touched me, and there are a group of them, has touched my heart and soul, are several of the priests, and also a priest from Lebanon, who, you know, has his life in danger every day, and he was gracious enough to consent to be on the show. I can't mention his second name, and he spoke very clearly and very plainly about our American rights and our freedom. And he spoke very sincerely from his heart how we as Americans should cherish the freedom that we inherited and not to surrender it, because the freedom that we received was the grace from God. And he was very, very, very sincere in his, you know, in his talk and his advice for Americans. Don't ever surrender your freedom, because I know what it's like not to have freedom. And he did the show, and in a week he went back to Lebanon, you know, and he stays in touch, you know, very clandestinely with us, and he's coming back to the United States again, and I'm planning on having him on the show again. But we've had so many, you know, we've had bishops from India on our show, and they all profess the same thought: how blessed America is. How blessed it is to live in America and to have all the freedoms that we do have, and religious freedom. And never, ever, ever let anyone take it away. And the silent majority should not be silent on their religious freedoms. So that's it, Brother Paul. That's probably the, you know.
I'm sorry, very touching. Very, very touching. So I understand that you might have prepared some stuff on it. saint today. Do you have some?
Yes, I did.
To share with the audience?
I do. Yes, I do. All right, I'm glad you asked. The saint is Maximilian Kolbe. Before I read the saint, though, we have an anonymous admirer who supplies us with biblical reflections every week. He doesn't want his name mentioned. Is it okay if I read the reflection first?
Sure, it's your show.
Okay, it's reflective on.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, it's reflective on tomorrow's scripture. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. See Psalm 33. Do you feel the weight of a cross upon you at this time? Do you feel weak in front of the temptations to sin you are facing? Do you feel that you have let God down and those whom you love and who loves you? Then the psalm verse is for you. Say it, pray it, over and over again. If you have to pray it until you really believe it, pray as it is you are the moment, perhaps with bitterness or anger in your heart, maybe even defiantly and full of doubts, but pray it nonetheless. Lord, let your mercy be on me as I place my trust in you. What might happen when you offer these words as a prayer and a plea at a time of despair? Your heart, once closed, will become open. Your soul, once feeling abandoned, will feel good drawn near. Your mind, once detached, will be awakened to a new reality. And this new reality will be that you, a known sinner to yourself and your heart of hearts, will experience God like you've never experienced before. God. He will no longer be a distant or aloof God, but with the true God, he has revealed himself to humanity as the God who came to be the servant and slave of all, the God of mercy. Amen. And that's the reflection. Okay, so the saint that we chose and you're familiar with is Maximilian Kolbe. And he was actually born Raymond Kolbe in Poland in 1894. He became a Franciscan friar where he was only 16. I don't know if that must have been young in those days. I'm not sure. He was sent to study in Rome, where he was ordained a priest in 1918. He also was a very clever scientist and mathematician. Father Maximilian returned to Poland in 1919 and with fellow friars began using modern printing methods to spread the gospel. They published a daily newspaper and a monthly magazine. Maximilian also started a radio station and planned to build a film studio, believing that there were important new ways to tell the world about Jesus. And that's so true, and that's what we're trying to do with this radio station, and Brother Paul, you're trying to do with all the saintly work that you're doing. Before the war, he worked for a time in Japan. He was executed in 1941. On the first day of September 1939, Nazi leader Adolf Hitler ordered the mighty German army to invade the country next door, and that was Poland. A month later, the Polish army was defeated. Among the thousands of Poles who were arrested was a Franciscan friar, Maximilian Kolbe. For a time, Maximilian, who was also a priest, and his fellow friars were kept in tents in Germany. They were then returned to Warsaw, the capital of Poland. Hitler had decided to give some freedom to Polish priests if they would help Germany by persuading the Polish people to grow food for Germany. Some German officers even says Maximilian could become a German if he'd help them, which would mean he would live in safety and probably prosperity. Proud to be Polish, he absolutely refused. He was again arrested, this time by the secret state police, or what we know as the Gestapo, and kept in prison. Shortly afterward, he was sent with 300 other prisoners in a railway cattle truck from Warsaw to the terrible concentration camps at Auschwitz. To keep his companions cheerful on the journey, he led them in singing hymns. On arrival, each prisoner was given a striped uniform and tattooed on the forearm with a number. Maximilian Kolbe was now known as Prisoner 16670. There were sights of terrible suffering everywhere. Men, women, and children wandered around inside the barbed wire compound, looking exactly like walking skeletons. The prisoners were given little food and made to work long hours. Because of this, and because of the violence of the guards, many prisoners died of weaknesses and hunger for many, many times. The worst thing about the camp was that there was no grass or trees or palm plants. No birds sang there. They were at least free to fly away from the smell of the death camp. Then one day in August 1941, one of Maximilian's fellow prisoners in Block 14 was reported missing after the usual evening roll call. Somehow he had managed to escape. The next day, all the prisoners were brought to the parade ground and were forced to stand for hours in the hot sunshine. Many fainted. Some died when they fell. Then the camp commander announced that 10 men from Block 14 would die because someone had escaped. He went along the ranks, electing his victims. The silence was unbroken until one of those chosen, which was a Polish soldier named Franciszek, cried out, "What'll happen to my wife and children?" When he heard this, Maximilian quietly stepped out of line, took off his cap, and stood in front of the commander. The commander was for a moment speechless. Then he yelled, "What does that Polish pig want?" 47-year-old Maximilian replied, "I'm a Catholic priest. I'm old. I'm ready to take that man's place because he's got a wife and children." The commander hesitated. Why should anyone, he wondered, make such an offer? But then he waved his Gestapo and the selected person back into the place and told Maximilian to join the other 9 he had already selected. They were taken to Block 13, the starvation bunker. No clothing, no food, no water was allowed. Everyone who asked for them was kicked to the ground. Slowly, one by one, the men starved to death. 5 remained, half alive. Of these, Maximilian was the only one still conscious. Soon the Germans needed Block 13 for a new bunch of victims. A doctor was ordered to execute prisoner 16670 and his last few companions by injecting them with a deadly poison. Maximilian said a brief prayer before holding out his arm to receive the lethal dose. Frances, who survived Auschwitz and lived for more than 40 years later, is beholden to Saint Maximilian Kolbe for his brave, brave movement in saving him. And that's the short life of Maximilian Kolbe, Brother Paul, and the courage and the love of Jesus and the love of fellow man and how it is expressed in times of stress and war.
Very powerful story, huh?
I think it's an example of how we all can worry and think about our brothers, you know, and he's a great example. And thank you for bringing that portion into the program. It's very important to me.
Maybe we should listen to your second song selection now.
Yes, I think it's, and you know what? This was selected Brother Paul, with you in mind because of your divine mercy. So, Trevor, can we play number 6? Great is your mercy.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We draw near to you, God. Because of your blood, you've made a way for us to come to you. Thank you for his mercy and his grace tonight. God, for your mercy, for loving us with an everlasting love. So great is your mercy. Praise you, Lord. Great is your mercy.
Brother Paul?
Yes.
That's
great is his mercy indeed, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that song was selected for several reasons, because this is going to be the year of mercy, your devotion to the divine mercy, and knowing that we all are eligible and we all can receive God's mercy. It's not out of reach, and it's not impossible. And you have a devotion to Maria Espinanza. You're a spiritual son of Maria Espinanza. You have a healing ministry, and you have a devotion to the divine mercy. Can you quickly tell us?
Well, before I do, I will do that.
Yes.
But I want to do something else first.
Okay.
And since you let me drive the bus this week, I want to get in a commercial message.
Okay.
might make you feel a little uncomfortable, but I want to tell your listeners just what a spectacular job you and John have done, and how difficult it really is to do something like this. In 2004, I started my first charity called Franciscan Charities in Newark. And I started that with nothing. I had no money, no volunteers, no nothing. And last year alone, we provided over 165,000 meals.
Wow.
to the poor of Newark. And that came about for one primary reason, obviously, which is God. But God worked through many hundreds of individuals who were willing to give financial and work support to make this thing possible. That's where your listeners need to hear my story. They need to hear that you and John deserve their support. What you're doing is very important. You heard the story about the man who contemplated suicide. You heard the story that I told about the man who reached out to me. Not even on the show's website, but on my website, about having his life changed by listening to the show. This show is very important. It's a word that God wants spread. And I want to tell your listeners that it's important that you step up and help support the show. Recently, they've obtained a 501c3 determination, which means that all the money that you would give would be deductible on your tax return, subject to the laws of deductions. But you can make this contribution by just going online to their website, which is, Tony?
listen-up.net. listen-up.net. And off to the left side of the graphics, you'll see Contribute Now. And just click on that, and the rest will guide you through PayPal or through credit card. Or,
you know, these two have financed the show themselves. And you know, they've done a yeoman's job in getting it to this point, but they need your help to go forward to make sure that this will continue into the future, and that perhaps some of Tony's objectives and hopes and goals for the show will become a reality if you're willing to be supportive. So, you know, even if you only think you paid $1 a show, for example, that would be $250 that you could give them just as a way of saying thanks. Now, not everybody can afford that, but believe me, even $5, $10, it helps. And they need the help. And, you know, our Lord wants this project to continue. So I'm making it personal appeal on my own behalf to all of you who do enjoy the show to make a contribution. You should know that I put my money where my mouth is. I do work to try to help support them financially, as well as obviously through my own participation in the project. So I heartily encourage you to be supportive. And it's hard for them to ask, but I'll ask for them because I'm not bashful. So there you have it. So as far as my own devotion to Divine Mercy, you know, I was the founder, or at least co-founder, of the Center of Divine Mercy in New Jersey, where last year, this past Divine Mercy Sunday, we had 1,000 people who came for a very, very special and wonderful celebration. Every month we have a service on the second Saturday. It starts at 2:45, and we get hundreds of people every month that come to pray the chaplet, to be involved in adoration and benediction, to receive a healing touch from me as part of the healing service, and to attend Mass at the end of the service. This coming December, of course, as Tony mentioned, October the 8th is the opening of the Jubilee Year of Mercy. And, you know, Pope Francis has seized an opportunity here to help galvanize Divine Mercy in the Church. Pope John Paul opened the door. Pope Benedict pushed it open a little bit further. And now Pope Francis is trying to slam it open to make sure that people know that God wants to extend His mercy to everyone in the world. And so if those of you who are very interested in this, on October the 12th, which is 4 days after the opening, we'll be having our normal monthly service at St. Rocco's, the Center of Divine Mercy. And it's going to be a very special celebration. So I just wanted to invite your listeners to attend if they can. So anyway, that's my commercial message.
And if any listener would like to attend, get in touch with me, and I'll probably try to attend also, and we'll make arrangements. So you can call me, or you can text me, or you can email me at my own personal email, tcruffo@aol.com. And I can tell you.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If you haven't been to Brother Paul's healing services or to his conferences, you should, because you'll be in for a great, great experience. I've been to several of them, and I have to tell you, he is unbelievable, and he's touched with the Holy Spirit. And also, just I'd like to tell you also that Brother Paul does believe in the in our show, and he has come forward accordingly. And we love Brother Paul. I know he doesn't like when I say that, but
no, I don't.
But we do love
him. I appreciate it.
So,
I do have a prayer request though for your listeners. I'm leaving this afternoon for Florida to go on a healing mission, and I'll be in three different places in Florida over the next few weeks, and then I'm heading on to Puerto Rico.
Wow.
For a week as well. So I'll be on the road bringing Jesus, you know, in the form of our blessings to many thousands of people. And so I ask those who are listening to please pray for me as I begin this this journey.
I'm going to do a 30-day novena for you, Brother
That's
Paul.
That's very kind.
And I'm going to start tonight. And
I appreciate it.
But that means I'm going to miss you.
Well, you know, we'll see if God permits. You know, only a telephone call away.
All right, we'll talk.
We'll talk.
Okay, we'll absolutely talk. And Brother Paul has a very powerful healing ministry. I employ everyone as much as you can to please attend wherever he's going to be. And he has a great following in our diocese. People ask me for a disc of the shows that Brother Paul has been on all the time. So I keep a nice supply handy of them so I can send them out. And thank you for your, what do you call it, about our 501c3. I'm very thankful for that. And we are starting to get donations. Just so you know, someone stopped me in Ridgewood 2 weeks ago, an elderly guy that listens to the show at the library, and he came over to me and said he knew I was doing the show. He says, "Anthony, you're a nonprofit." I says, "Yes." He says, "Here, I want you to have that." And he gave me a check as a contribution. So,
that's terrific, right?
So it's people are starting to contribute, and we are so thankful for it.
That's wonderful.
And I wanted to, I think we're running out of time, but I did want you to say a prayer for Dr. Palmer, Paul, before we do close, okay?
Sure.
You're a very powerful prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask your special grace flow down upon Dr. John Palmer in his time of need. We ask you to lift him up. Lift him up to your most sacred heart. Allow the waters of blood and water flowing down upon him to restore him to health according to your will. And for all those listeners who are listening to this show today, we ask you to bless them and to heal them in body, mind, and soul according to your will. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And thank you also for the blessing for our listeners and for the petitions that we have. We have a bag full of petitions that people send us all the time for prayers and asking for relief and all sorts of things and sicknesses and having bad experiences and et cetera. And so we thank you so much for the prayers. And so, Brother Paul.
Yep.
Do you have any advice for our listeners before we start signing off?
My advice is that to follow the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the center of our life. And as much as possible, you should take advantage of the most astonishing grace God has given each one of us.
Thank you. Okay, we're told time is up. We're going to go off. Trevor, can you go off with the song, A Love Like This?
Whatever it was that I thought I should be.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, listeners.
Changed it
we
all
love you.
Oh, and
thank
your
you.
Life changed me, and oh, what peace it is. A love like
the previous program
this
was brought to you by the Greek Broadcast.
A love that holds all my tomorrows in the palm of your hand. What greatness you
do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. A love